Today on Real Life Radio.
Why are you divided? Isn't that what the book of Galatians is all about? To stop it? That it's immature? Doesn't Paul talk about that in Corinthians? Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Peter. And then the real holy moly said, well, we're of Christ. We're better than all you guys. Paul says that's carnal. That's division. That's wrong. Aren't we one in Jesus?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, and this is part two. Here in chapter 7, there's a pause in the series of events to talk about Israel. Now, God is not done with his chosen people, and when those terrible days of the tribulation come, Israel will ultimately be saved. You see, salvation is available to all, but most often it takes a wake-up call, and it's most likely when we're in the middle of trouble that we see and hear like never before. When we finally accept God's gift of salvation, we really wonder why we didn't come to him sooner. How many times have you heard that? God puts his seal on us that cannot be broken and gives us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee that we are his. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when God begins to move, not only the 144,000 men from the 12 tribes of Israel, but a great many Jews as well as Gentiles will choose Christ in the tribulation period. And now in his message called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It seems of late, the last several weeks, I've been pounding the pulpit over the fact of recognize and come to grips with the fact that Israel as a nation is not going anywhere. It was brought into existence a second time on May 14th, 1948, and it will continue no matter who wars against it. The key is don't war against Israel. God has put his hand upon that country, and he's doing a work. God knows those that are his. Romans 11:25 says, Paul speaking, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited in your minds that Israel has experienced a hardening of the heart of the gospel, against the gospel, in part until the number of the Gentiles is completed. That's a reference to the church age. Isaiah 43:5 says, fear not, for I am with you. He's speaking to Israel. I will bring your descendants from the east, and I will gather you from the west and from the north. Give them up, and to the south, don't hold them back. And I will bring my sons and daughters from afar, from all the earth, and my daughters and my sons from the ends of the earth. So God is not done with the nation Israel. And one of the great reasons is that he's going to call out 144,000 of them to be preachers and evangelists. Listen to this. Salvation in the wisdom of God. In verses 4 through 8, as we learn this, that it's time to choose God and to move on. Notice this. It's time to choose God and to move on. Now, why did I make that a subpoint under the salvation of God and his wisdom? Because listen, if you try to share the Lord right now with most of the Jews, they think you're nuts. Did you know that? They will look at you right in your eyes and say, look, you guys are nice to us. You Christians are good to us and all that stuff. We appreciate that, but we just don't see Jesus as Messiah. The Bible says they can't. Did you know that? The book of Romans says there's a veil over their eyes. God has blinded them. I'm going to give you something. It's one of the three original thoughts I've ever had in my life. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the minds of those of this world who do not believe. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians says that. That Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in Christ. All right? Then there are those who do believe in Christ. How many of you believe in Christ? Jesus, he's your Lord and Savior. Great. You're in the second group. The first group is there are those outside these walls who do not believe in him. Second group, there's us who do. Third group, they're not blinded by Satan. You ever think of that? Who are they blinded by? They're blinded by God. Who are they? The Jewish nation has been blinded by God until he's ready to open up the blinders. Satan hasn't blinded them. Isn't that interesting? God in his wisdom regarding salvation is this, that when God begins to move, there are going to be not only 144,000, but a great, great many of Jewish people people and Gentiles during the tribulation period, they're going to choose Christ. They're going to go for it. And that's an important thing. They choose Christ, they choose God, and they move on. A lot of people today, and I want to make this very, very clear, and we'll get into it more next week for sure. But listen, you may be sitting here this morning saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to choose Christ or not. Do you know that you're walking on an ice cube over hell? I mean, it's bad enough to walk on an ice cube. You ever slipped on ice? Man, you can be in a three-piece suit. You can look so cool. You know what I'm talking, lady? You can be in the most good-looking dress ever, and in a second, you are humbled. I mean, you are brought down to where the rest of us are at. You'd be strutting along and, hey, man, what a, you know, that's my parking spot. Whoosh, boom! And there you are in the store parking lot, you know? You could be sitting this morning saying, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to believe in Jesus or not. I'm going to think about it. I've got a few things I want to do first. Watch out. Be careful. You want to know why? Because during the preaching of the gospel, during the time of the gospel of grace, this age of grace, the call is upon you to choose. Next week, we'll see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that once the rapture happens, those people prior to the rapture who just played with the gospel and didn't accept Christ and put him off, the Bible says that God himself will then turn upon them and send them strong delusion so that they will not believe the truth, so that they will not come to the knowledge of the truth because they would not during that time of the gospel, during this church age. Well, then who will get saved? The multitudes of Gentiles and the Jews during the tribulation period who did not have opportunity to respond to this age of preaching the gospel. Didn't Jesus say to the church, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel? But not only that, at the end of the tribulation period or near the end of it, the Bible tells us that there's going to come a time when God will send forth an angel to fly through the midst of the atmosphere. By the way, it's not in the stars. That angel's going to descend. That's going to be a trip. Can you imagine? With all the stuff that's gone on, people are going to look up and there's going to be an angel. And I'm sorry, I don't think it's a satellite called Angel. Now, did you know that? There's a certain Christian television station that claims to have fulfilled that scripture in the Bible because they bought a satellite and named it Angel. And it preaches the gospel. That's nice, I think. I don't watch the programs. But it flies through, you know, and it does whatever it does. That's cute, but that's not the answer to the scripture. The Bible says God will send an angel out of heaven, not from NASA or not from anywhere else. And that angel is going to proclaim the everlasting gospel, and then the end will come upon the earth. So listen, the church is to do it now. Israel's to do it during the tribulation period. And when God's done with both, he's going to say, okay, angel, one last time, preach it all around the globe. I wonder how long that's going to take. Just go fly through the midst of the atmosphere, and that's it. It's up. It's over. What I mean to say is this. If you're playing around with the gospel this morning, you better stop playing. And you better receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're having a hard time seeing that, and I am not into visualization, I think you ought to read the Bible and consult God and he'll speak to you and all that stuff. But if you want to kill about an hour and a half, then go see the Passion of the Christ. If you need to see something about what Jesus did for you and me, then go see Mel Gibson's rendering. And I stress Mel Gibson's rendering. Because as accurate as it is, it's not accurate enough. Did you know that? Jesus in that movie is shredded and it's disgusting. And you'll walk out of the theater sick. Changed, I might add. But it's not accurate because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that Jesus was mutilated more than any other human being ever. You couldn't tell he was a male or a female. He was so shredded. All you saw, according to the prophet Isaiah, was a silhouette, the shape of a human being. Can you imagine putting a human in a blender, turning it on, and then pouring it out into the shape of a human being and then having it stand up? Marred more than any other man for our sins. He loves us that much. It's amazing for you. And I don't know if I'm going to accept him or not. Did you know that while he was on the cross, he was accepting you? He was? Yes. You're lying, you're cheating, my lust or my anger, what, all of us together. He was accepting the sin willfully. That's why when he said, Father, if this cup be taken from me, may it pass? The answer is no, it may not. Why? Salvation is no other way but for Jesus to go to the cross. And he took upon us what you and I deserved. In John chapter 4, verse 14, John 4, 14 says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what that verse means? It means that once you taste of the water and drink of the water that Jesus gives, you will not be like a little bumblebee. Have you noticed with the warmth of the weather, all the flowers are out? Did you notice the moment the flowers came out? Who else came out? The bees. They're everywhere. And we need those bees. But those, what do? They don't build a little house on a flower. They go from flower to flower to flower to flower to flower. And you know what? Listen. There are a lot of people who go from religion to religion to religion to religion, sampling, sampling. I'll take a little bit of this, and oh, I don't like any of that one. I'll take some of that, and I'm going to build my own little thing. And then Jesus says, you go do that all you want. The truth of the matter is, when you drink what I have to give, you will never thirst again. Can you imagine a bee landing on this type of a flower? Drinking, and oh my, oh wow. Oh, yes, no need to go to another flower again. I have found the flower of youth, you know, or something. Jesus is saying, if you taste of me, you'll have nowhere else to go. Isn't that what Peter meant when Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go to? When Jesus says, will you guys leave me also? When Jesus rebuked his followers, Jesus said, will you also go? And Peter turned around and he said, Lord, where do we go? How can we leave? You alone have the words of eternal life. Oh, that's our master. That's our savior. That's our salvation. In Jesus, John 6:51, Jesus says, I'm the living bread, which has come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Okay, now we got drink and we got bread from God to live forever. It's Jesus. How do we know? John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, but these are they which do testify of me, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third and final point, we'll end here. Salvation in the midst of trouble. Salvation and its perfect ending. I love this part. This is the part I've been waiting to get to. Before we dive into it, look back at chapter 7, verse 1. Look how it opens up. After these things, and we circled it when we were there. It's important. Now we come to verse 9, after these things. Greek words, metatauta. Very important. We would say like this, okay? From chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, we're filming this movie. We're filming the scene. It's all captured. And they would say in Hollywood, that is a take or that's a wrap. It's done. Wrap it up. Seal it. It's done. It's complete. Let's go on to the next one. So verses 1 through 8, that's a wrap. Stop. Change of scene. Bring in the new set. Get ready to film. Are you with me on that? That's what happens beginning and now at verse 9. It's still a insert. Chapter 7, verse 9 is still a parenthetical insert. But now there's a shift change. What does it say? Salvation in this perfect ending is all about a God who loves. And after these things, John says, I looked and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out, verse 10, with a loud voice. Stop right there. This is a great thing. Why is it so important? Brother, listen, these people, it's an interesting group of people because of who they are and where they've come from. Who are they? They're obviously converts. We know that by what they say in a moment. We know also that they have their white robes are given to them. They are before the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. Notice where they're at and who they are. You say, well, who are they? Well, you know what? We're going to find out some of them are Jewish, but not limited to Jews. These are the converts that have come from the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. How do we know that? Because it says that they've come from, look, Verse 9, all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne. By the way, it's not in my notes, I just want to say it. We will never get the whites and the blacks together in peace with the Asians and the Hispanics together in peace. It will never happen, no matter what kind of programs we implement. There's only one way that you can crush racial division and ethnic divides. You want to know how? It's Jesus Christ. That's it. You see, if you understand the gospel, you cannot strut around because you're Hispanic or white or black or green or any other color. Are you with me? Do you understand that? He died for all. And to think that one is greater than the other is evil, in my opinion. I think that is a form of satanic thinking. I think racism is satanic to its core. You want to have people come together? You know what I love about this church? You look around, and there are people sitting here with suits on, and there are people sitting here getting ready, I guess, maybe going to the beach, apparently, by the way you're dressed. There's people here that are black and white, and yellow, and brown, from every level. How does that happen? I'm going to say something to certainly upset somebody, I guess, in this. But when I read the scriptures and I see, especially the Apostle Paul preaching, he's preaching to churches that are converted Jews and converted Gentiles. I am personally offended at churches that view themselves exclusively as Gentile. And then there are born-again Jews who have their meetings. I think it's an affront to Christ. I think it's an insult to the gospel. If you're a born-again Jew or if you're a born-again Gentile, why are you divided? Isn't that what the book of Galatians is all about, to stop it? That it's immature? Doesn't Paul talk about that in Corinthians? Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Peter. And then the real holy moly said, well, we're of Christ. We're better than all you guys. Paul says, that's carnal. That's division. That's wrong. Aren't we one in Jesus? These that are saved and before the throne is a vast multitude of people because they recognized Christ as Messiah. And by the way, we shall see that John has no idea next week. John has no idea who these people are. Isn't that interesting? See, what's so big about that? John doesn't recognize them as being members of the bride of Christ, the church age. We will see that they will be believers who have come out of great tribulation. Interesting, huh? They're not part of the church. They are the tribulation saints. There's the Old Testament saints. You say, Jack, you've said this so many times. I'm going to say it a lot more. There's the Old Testament saints. There's the church age saints. Okay? And there's the tribulation saints. There's three groups throughout time, throughout history. The Old Testament saints ended with a very famous guy that we often attribute him to be New Testament. Anybody remember what his name is? Very good. John the Baptist. He was the last Old Testament prophet. John was of the old economy of God, ushering in the church age. Is John in heaven? Yes. Is Daniel in heaven this morning? Yes. What about Noah? Yes. Old Testament saints. The moment that the church was born until the rapture, there's what's called the bride of Christ, saints, the church. Once the rapture happens, in the second coming of Christ and he returns, that 7-year period of time, there's the tribulation saints. And by the way, those three are distinguished in Scripture as we shall march through this book and see. What a perfect ending to a story when you begin to realize that heaven is the target, is the focus, and he's the God who saves. How do we know that? Look at verse 10. It says, this is what they say. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You think they're up there going, salvation, what is it? It's what? Oh, yeah. Salvation belongs to God and the Ram. The what? Oh, the Lamb. The Lamb. Salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb. No, I think they're pretty pumped up about it. It's so loud. It's so elevated of worship. John in chapter 7 here in verse 14 says, when asked, who are these standing before the throne? John says, well, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who have come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Tribulation saints. Well, the love that God sends forth here is this. Listen carefully and we'll end. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. And why does it say and? and to the Lamb. Because you know what? Even though God the Father sits on the throne, listen carefully, even though God the Father sits on the throne, there is no salvation outside of the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. This is important where we're going right now. How does a man get to heaven? By bowing his knee, his heart, so to speak, right? Accepting Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb. God sent forth his son to be the sacrifice for our sins, the lamb. He loves us. And when you, as in a moment, hear these verses, remember, he loves us. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. Do you know what that means? That means no one gets to the Father but through Jesus. No one. Yeah, but I'm Jewish. You're not going unless through the Son. What, I'm a Gentile. You're not going unless through the Son. I'm a Hindu. You're not going except through the Son. I'm a Muslim. You're not going except through the Son. I'm a Buddhist. You're not going to heaven except through the Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm mad at you. I am angry. I'm giving you pure Bible. Take it up with God. He wrote the book and he made your life. So be careful how you argue with him. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this is the life, his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Acts 4:10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Great miracle had been done. This is the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God has highly exalted Christ and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, the spiritual realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You cannot give the Father glory without confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 2. Thanks for listening today. You know, Salvation in the Midst of Trouble, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the entire Bible, especially the New Testament, and it's the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control. Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism, who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.